Greetings, everyone. I would like to start off by saying thank you for allowing us into your lives every week. Welcome to the Family Healing Breaking Cycles Podcast, your one-stop shop to life, love, and family. Every week, we will touch on real-life topics from a family's perspective, of course. I am a family healing motivational coach, a mother of four, two kings, and two queens. I'm also a sister mom of two kings and a grandmother of three and an auntie of two as well. As you will see, the more time we spend together, we have a unique family dynamic. The topics that we discuss are things that have made impacts on our family. And as we share our experiences, we hope to help other families break cycles as well. Let's get started. Welcome back, family. I'm Tamika. I'm your host. I'm here with my co-host, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Welcome back, family. I'm the oldest child right now, but you can call me Nell.
Welcome back. I'm the youngest daughter, Jasmine, but you can call me Jazz.
I just wanted to start off with some housekeeping issues, some contact information, how you can contact us. Aside from in the app, whatever digital platform that you're listening to us on, some of them allow you to leave reviews, and that's a great way for us to, sometimes when you have everything in one place, it's just easier. So if your digital platform allows you to send us reviews, we would love it, as opposed to now you have to go to Facebook, or you have to go to Instagram, or you have to email us. Sometimes if you could do it all in one swoop, because I know we're all busy, have a lot going on. But if not, these are a few ways that you could contact us. So our Instagram is FHBCP_. Our Facebook is just our name, Family Healing Breaking Cycles. And our email is familyhealingbreakingcycles78@yahoo.com. So, as we're, you know, recording this episode, we're coming upon the new year, and I just wanted to do something because, you know, New Year's resolutions and all these, you know, these different things, I really don't believe in them, only because you shouldn't have to wait until New Year's to better yourself. It should be something that you do all the time, something that you maintain, something that you keep maintenance on, your mental health, you know, your well-being, just like everything else. You keep your hair up, you keep your nails done, you keep your hair cut, you keep, you know, you keep your body up. So I think everything should be maintained. And it's good to say, okay, I'm not bringing old things from the old year into the new year. It's okay to say that, but to be tied to this thing called the New Year's resolution just to drop it a quarter of the way through, and it's kind of become the mentality, and I'm guilty of it as well. But, you know, here lately for the past few years, I don't buy into it anymore because it doesn't really serve me any purpose. So we're just going to focus on now and focus on being better in 2023. And we're just going to, you know, go around the room and do some steps to a better you. Just some things that, you know, we could be transparent and talk about ourselves and, you know, give some advice or some things that could be done to for a better you, because we all have been through some challenges this year. You know, we all have had some life changes this year, and we have learned from them. Myself, my children individually. We've all been through things that didn't have anything to do with a family unit, just our individual testimonies and battles, and we've learned things from them. So, you know, we can go around the room and be transparent about that as well. But just to end the year and start the new year on some steps to a better you. You know, renew and regrow your mind, body, and soul. So basically, you know, some steps for your mind. You can, the first thing you could do is start to spend time alone. For some reason, people, and I never understood this fact, I really didn't. You learn so much when you spend time alone and you on a healing journey and you're around different people and different energies and you see how people move and react and think and process. You just learn so much if you're paying attention. If you're on a journey to seek and to learn and to be a better person, you will start to pay attention to people and your surroundings and you'll learn lessons and you apply things to your life. But if you're just out here just living with no purpose, with nothing, you're not going to pay attention to the lessons that life give you. So a lot of people are scared to spend time alone or to be with themselves because they don't like themselves. They know who they really are and they don't want to face themselves alone. Now, that could be for a lot of reasons. It's not to say that it's just what it is. Like there are a lot of reasons why people have abandonment issues. People have rejection issues. There are lots of reasons why a person just wouldn't want to face themselves and they don't want to take accountability for anything because when you're alone, you think, you process. It a lot. There's, you know, there's no outside distraction. This is why people are, you know, like sometimes you might have a woman that always has a man. Every time she breaks up with a man, she get a new one. Or the same thing with a man. Every time he breaks up with a woman, what's the old saying? You get up under a new one to get over the old one. But that's because they're scared to be alone. When you have a lot of outside noise, you cannot face who you are. There's always going to be something there to distract you from realizing who you really are. And just let's face it. It's scary. If you are a person that's not ready to take accountability for some toxic behaviors that you have, accountability for your actions, being a bad person, being a bad parent, being a bad spouse, a bad friend, or whatever the case is, or you have some toxic behaviors, you don't want to face it because you're not ready to be held accountable for your actions. And being alone is like, it's quiet. It's just you. You don't have a choice but to deal with it and to face it. And a lot of people just aren't in that space yet. They're not ready. I wasn't always ready. But once you get there, trust me, it's the only place where you would want to be. So one of the first things for your mind is to learn to spend time alone. What you guys think about that? I was always a loner anyway. I don't know what that meant. I had friends, of course, and went out and partied and worked and had co-workers and all that kind of stuff. But if you want to get to the nitty-gritty, I was able to be a loner, meaning I was able to do things by myself, be by myself. I wasn't really one of those people that sat on the phone or talked on the phone all day or was always over a friend house or something like that. Not that I was like this introvert, but it was more so I don't need to have people around me to live. And I'm still like that.
You know me. I 100% agree with that. You know, I'm not, like the things you name, like I don't need somebody to be there to do these things.
To validate, yeah.
So, of course, but like you said, you got, you know, the friend, you siblings and stuff like that. But anything outside of that, the best word is validation. I don't need the validation because I can care less for.
Oh, okay.
It never was a thing to me. I don't have to do this because I see everybody else doing it.
Right.
Or I don't have to go out because all of y'all going out. Just not my thing. I'd rather chill,
mm-hmm.
be in the house,
mm-hmm.
do what I do, whatever the case is. But I'm 100% agree on that
one. I was always an individual. Like, I never followed trends. It was more so like I set my own trends. I had my own style, my own everything. Of course, you like stuff. But it was never a situation, if everybody had it, I went out and got it. I would more so now not want it because everybody have it. And I'm the same way now. Like, you know, you see little videos on social media, you better run and go get this, you know, get this bag, get that bag, you know, it's no more left on the shelf. Everybody came and bought it. But why would I want it if everybody got it?
We all gonna be looking like we...
Yeah, like, why would I want it if every single person have it? I never was that person. I never was that person. And even I in the beginning when I was like that, it had nothing to do with the factor of liking myself or not. Because I know I wasn't in a place where I loved myself enough. But I was still able to, it was the reverse for me. I was still able to be a loner. And at the same time, didn't have enough love for myself. But still, at the same time, I always had children. I always had a family to raise. So I really wasn't alone. But I could have been. And I was when it came to certain things. But now it's like totally, it's a totally different space. Because it's basically like alone. Like I don't have a problem with actually chilling and being. Just being in my own space. Alone. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have to sit there and be like, oh my God, it's quiet. Oh my God, I need to call somebody. I need to get on the phone and talk to somebody. I need to go over somebody's house, have somebody come over, or I need to go outside. Like, no. No, I like it quiet. Absolutely.
Yep.
Did you want to say something about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, I like being alone as well, but the only thing is... One thing I can do it, but I just...
Can you really?
Yeah, as far as going out by myself. I can, but I'd rather not.
In the overall sense, are you really able to be alone? Because we have spoken about your codependency. Now, is that only in relationships? Or are you able to not be in a relationship and just be by yourself? Or when you are, for whatever reason, is it a time that's uncomfortable and you find yourself maybe seeking out companionship because you don't like it? Because you have your moments where you are alone. Because you know that you've been in a situation that you just have to break off from. But what is your life like when you're in that limbo of getting over and finding new?
Though, I'm saying as far as... Wait, you talking about alone as far as relationship? Or
no, because you said you can, like, you can't, like, go out by yourself.
Right. As far as I need me a friend or something. Both right. We'll turn up, drink, right. Whatever we do. Not saying like relationship wise, I'm just saying in general, I feel like even I could probably go to like a restaurant by myself, but it's gonna lead to everybody being on the phone anyway. I don't think nobody can really go to a restaurant and just look around and eat. Like somebody's gonna be on their phone or something like that.
Not necessarily.
Or probably looking at...
I mean, you might have to look at it. I get what you're saying, but not necessarily. Is so my thing is, okay, so let's not pinpoint it down to that, because those are some things that I mentioned. But the overall thing about being alone is you're able to be alone with yourself. Let's take out going out. Let's take out, you know, whatever. Of course, you got to go to the market by yourself sometime, or you go get your nails done by yourself because you just, that's what you're running and doing, or you going to work or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's just take all the little... You know, the little branches of the things out. Let's say overall, are you able to be alone with yourself? And that means like just spending time with yourself with no outside interference, and understanding who you are and learning who you are and learning how to love yourself.
Oh, yeah. I don't need nobody for that.
Okay.
I thought you meant like going somewhere.
It can mean that, but I don't want it to overcome the whole purpose of what I mean by being alone. I can see where that kind of got crossed a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, being alone with yourself, learning who you are, learning your worth and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you have to. Yeah, sometimes you can't be in a relationship when you do that. And sometimes you do have to do most things alone because you're trying to get to know yourself and you're comfortable with doing it. Not that you don't have friends or not that you don't go out. It's just that you rather be alone because you're on a specific journey and you're trying to figure things out. And when you have a lot of outside interference, you can't. Because, you know, relationships aren't all about you anymore. Now they're about you investing and nurturing another person when you have to put all that investment and nurturing into yourself. So you don't have it to give anybody. I mean, when you get to the point where you know you don't have it to give to anybody else, you have to give it to yourself. And sometimes people don't have a choice because they do have small kids or they are in marriages or whatever, but they have to find time to figure it out because you lose yourself. Like, I lost myself in the midst of everything. Raising children, relationships, just everything. Didn't know who I was, lost myself, and really didn't find myself until I was in my early 40s. But just so happened that was after y'all were grown, after I was out of long-term relationships. So now it's like, I have a lot of catching up to do. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, it's hard to do it when you're a full-time partner and you're a full-time parent. And you work full time.
Right.
Your time is no longer your time. So it's very hard to do when you have all these things going on. This is why a lot of times women, and I'm going to say women, and I'm not going to categorize it to the race. I'm going to just say women don't find themselves until they are in their late 30s and early 40s.
Yeah, because I can. Because I was talking to Lainey. And she in her 60s. She didn't find out that she was beautiful until she was like 38.
And she shared that with you?
And she shared it.
That was good for her. That was good.
She didn't find out nothing about herself. She just didn't think highly of herself at all when she was in her 20s and teenager. But when she was 38, that's when she realized she was a beautiful woman.
Right. And that doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. Like, that's now a lifetime of maintenance to your mind, to your body and soul. And if you 38 just finding it out, you can very well be 48, 52 and still on the same journey, because you're talking about a life, a little bit less than half of your life, and you trying to catch up to loving yourself. That's what I mean by being alone. I know it was a little bit like generic. Can you be alone? Can you go eat by yourself? Can you do this? But there's more to it and it's deeper. The deeper concept causes for you to have to do things alone. But the deep part is, are you able to sit alone? Not like physically sit right here and I'm alone, but in general, sit alone, learn yourself, know your worth. These things take years of maintenance on yourself. And it's scary to do when you first starting out, because there's a lot, if you have a lot of toxic behaviors and stuff like that, you have to sift through all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you could get sick of yourself and you get tired. It's not an easy thing to do. But once you do the work and once you get there, you know, it's always worth it. It's easy for a person to say to a person that's doing it, to a person that hasn't even started or can fathom ever doing it. It's really so easy to say. And that person can look at you like, well, you know, so I get it because I was that person too. But you know when you're tired, when enough is enough, and you've been through too much of your life, and you know you were a contributor and there's some changes that need to be made, because it's not everybody else's fault all the time. And you have to invest in yourself, like whatever, and that's hard to do when you've been through a lot of trauma and you haven't spent time with yourself and you haven't learned to love yourself and you haven't figured out who you are. So it's going to be hard for you to invest in yourself because you don't feel like that you're worth anything. Anything more than what you're giving to the world in the moment. So if you have low self-esteem, or if you don't think you're worth it or worthy, or you've been through some trauma where you were abused or you know, you have wounded inner child and all that kind of stuff, and you don't know how to set boundaries for yourself, and you don't know how to stick up for yourself, how easy it is going to be for you to invest in yourself. So all these things come in steps, but these are things that have to be done to renew and regrow your mind, body, and soul. And these are steps to a better you. Now, it says steps to a better you. I didn't say easy steps to a better you. So I don't need anybody coming at my throat. Oh, you make it seem like it's so easy. It's not that easy. I've been through this. I've been through that. So it's not easy to do. Never said that. Please, like, we need to pay attention when we're listening and we're reading things. We see what we want to see and hear what we want to hear. I never once said anything was easy. I'm just giving some advice on things to do to make your life better mentally and physically, make your children's lives better, make your lives for people in your life better, your friends, your family, your co-workers or whoever. If you're, you know, in a space, like, you could be a toxic person. And these are things to start in the new year to maintain, not just because it's New Year's, but just because it's a path to a new you. You invest in yourself, invest in your visions, in your goals. Embrace change. Stop making excuses. Excuses are just what they are. Excuses are to hold you off to doing things that you know that you're scared to do. That's all an excuse is. You're scared. Fear. Fear can ruin your life. So you make all these excuses and you procrastinate and you never get things done. And you can meditate and manifest. Now, it's up to you as a person what you believe in and how you feel. Some people feel like, meditating is not for everybody and manifesting is not for everybody, because these things do take time and effort. You can't just say, oh, I want to be a millionaire and leave it there. You have to manifest it. And there are steps to manifest it. I'm not going to get into all that. You know, that could be a whole nother episode. But there are steps to manifesting and there are steps to meditating. But it helps a lot of people. And there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean that you're believing in some darker spirit or darker power. No, it just means you're manifesting your goals, what you want for yourself. And you're meditating, and that can be very good for your body, mind, and soul. Because you're sitting still, and you're quiet, and you're thinking. And that's not going to be easy for a lot of people to do, because they don't want to sit still. They don't want to be quiet. They don't want to think. And realizing your perception of reality isn't always reality. Your perception of what you think reality is isn't always reality to other people and the rest of the world. Like, it's not. That's just how you feel like it is. This comes with taking everybody's opinions personal, not paying attention, not reading everything from the beginning to the end, not listening appropriately. Your perception of reality is not always what reality is. You have to figure out for yourself, why do you perceive things to be what you want or need them to be? Life doesn't work like that. Life doesn't owe you anything. A lot of people walk around here thinking life owes them something. So they perceive reality to be the way that they want it to be, and it doesn't work like that. So stop thinking that your perception of reality is the real reality. And y'all can jump in if y'all want or when y'all want. Or y'all can wait till a transparent moment when you can think about something that you went through this year. Something that happened. And going into 2023, you're going to be better at it. You're not going to let it overcome you. You're not going to let it stop you from being the best you that you can be. Because we all know life always throws us curveballs. And one of the most important things, overcoming fear. Fear will keep you from living your best life. It really will. But fear is just a biological response to the unknown. That's all it is. It's a natural human emotion. You're scared because you never, it's foreign. You don't know what it is. So you're scared to initiate it. You're scared to touch it, look at it, see it, feel it. You're just scared. But you cannot let fear ruin your life or run your life. You can't allow it to hinder you from trying different things, from having visions, goals, and change. I know change is scary, but you can't let fear hinder you from those things. All you have to do is just simply recognize that it's unfamiliar and approach it with an attitude of excitement. That's what I do. It's always like, okay, I'm nervous, never did it before, it's new, no matter how minor or how major. But then I look at it like, wow, okay, it's something exciting. It's something that I can learn from. It's something that I can master. I never can, like, I've been scared of things, but, you know, not the typical things that people scared of. I'm not scared of typical things. I'm not scared of change. I'm not scared to embrace new things. I've always been someone that, you know, once I master something, I'm on to the next. Like, I get bored sitting there still doing the same thing. And yeah, it might be a little nervous at first with the new thing, but I don't let it stop me. Except for in, you know, a case or two. But I don't think it was fear that stopped me. I think it was more of not being able to invest in myself because of trauma. That's what that was.
I mean, that's what probably more the majority of people do. They, like you said, when it comes to the unknown. So it's like, you know, maybe you're not really sure what the outcome may be. So whatever your childhood trauma was kind of stops you from doing it. If it lines up the same way, because I have talked to people that won't do a lot of things, could never do it, never done it, don't know how to do it. So we're going to stay neutral to what I'm used to doing. And of course, I'm guilty right. of that. You know, a couple ventures I have done. I mean, I have never done it before, but it's you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. Mm. Everything is not meant to, what's the word I'm looking for? Flourish when you do it.
True.
So
that's true.
If you do it and it fails, you did it though.
So right.
I think that's better than, dang, what if I did? You didn't do it, and then now you're thinking, mm-hmm. what would happen if
it's better. It's the saying for that. It's better. I don't know the exact words, but it's something along the lines of, it's better to have tried something and like, it's better to have loved and lost and not have loved at all.
Yeah.
But on the lines of, it's better to have tried something and fail and didn't try it at all. Because at least, and that could have been the lesson in your life, in that person's life at the time. Not for you to get rich off of it, not for it to be this big thing, but it could have been a stepping stone to the next big thing, for the next door to open. And I think that's what people are scared of, so they don't take these steps and these initiatives to get to the next big thing. And I get that, because I was one of those people. And on the flip side, you know, it wasn't fear that stopped me from investing in myself. Like I said, if you've been through a lot of trauma, depending on if you already, like the woman you talked about, if you don't think you're beautiful, if you don't think you're worthy, or whatever the case is, through some trauma, because you might have been verbally abused, physically abused, whatever. Just, it's a lot. You're not going to invest yourself because you never thought you were good enough anyway. You always told that you weren't. Or you might have thought, well, if I was good enough, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? And you could be the most talented person in the world. But everybody can't be your cheerleader, and you're not. Everybody on the outside can be like, you know, you so talented. You know, you always made clothes for us. You always, you know, you made my prom dress. You made my graduation dress. You would always, you know, make my birthday outfits and all that kind of stuff. You really should start making clothes. And that person will make every excuse in the world. No, I just do it for fun. No, I just do it because, you know, I like to do it. I always like clothes and fashion. Y'all know that. But I could never have my own business. I could never make something and then try to sell it because inside they don't feel like that they're worthy enough for any kind of praise, any kind of compliments or anything like that because there's some kind of hidden trauma there. So I think you could be the most talented person in the world, but if you don't believe in yourself, it's really not going to matter. You have to get to a point where you're like, you know what? I can make these clothes. I'm going to open up my own business. And it might not be for you to have gotten rich, but you made these clothes. You opened up your business. You conquered a fear. And you can sit back and you can say, wow, I did that. Sometimes it's not for everybody to be rich and to be famous off of certain things. Your life was paved to be the way it was supposed to be for you. That person's life was paved the way it was supposed to be for them. So stop looking at other people and saying, oh, I'm not like them, so I wasn't successful. No, you were successful within yourself. You were supposed to learn something for yourself. They were supposed to get rich off of it. You weren't. You were supposed to say, I conquered a fear. Or I did that. It was something that I always wanted to do and I did it. Period. I think that's what people misconstrued. If they didn't get rich at it, they weren't famous at it, this and that, that it was a failure or whatever. No, it's a take a lot to invest in yourself in whichever way that is. It takes a lot. And if you're able to do it, like, that is kudos for you. So there's a lot of things that I've done that I never thought that I would do. And whether I was successful, got rich or whatever, I can sit back right now and say how many businesses I've had, how many things that I've done, and I'm not powerfully rich or this famous person, but I can look back and say, wow, I had an eventful life. Make better choices and change your thought process and hold yourself accountable. That's just that. We at a point in our lives now as grown people that we make choices. And if, you know, you're a young adult, you're starting to make choices. And you just have to let people make their choices sometime and learn from them. You can't sit there and try to judge people and do all these things because they made a certain choice that you wouldn't have made. No, it's their life. They have to learn. Of course, you could be there to support them and guide them, but you can't do it for them. But as grown adults with children and families, we have to start making better choices for ourselves and for our families. And we have to change our thought process. A lot of people walk around with these blinders on and they think one way. They don't look at both sides of a story, both sides of the fence. They just think what they want to think and it is what it is and that's that. And if life doesn't work like that, there's too many people in the world for it to work like that. For you to live in your own bubble and think the way that you think is how everybody else think, or you don't have to communicate with people, or you don't have to have healthy dialogue, or you don't have to problem solve, or things like that. It doesn't work that way. Change your thought process. Learn how to communicate and hold yourself accountable. We all know that that's a problem for most of the people in the world. Won't hold themselves accountable, and they don't know how to hold themselves accountable. And that's, you know, that comes with maturity. Some things that you could do as far as your body. First thing is hydrate yourself. Carry water with you everywhere that you go and drink every 10 minutes. If you take a sip every 10 minutes, you will be surprised of how much water that you'll drink in a day. And if you always have water with you in your bag, in your car, wherever, a small bottle, you have to hydrate yourself. That could be for all things because it clears your mind. It helps with hydration. It helps with your body. It helps with the organs. You won't be as foggy. You won't, you know, you can think clearer. You're, you know, of course, physically wise, it goes through your organs and your joints and things like that. It helps hydrate your whole body. So you have to get the water in. You have to stay hydrated because when you're dehydrated, you don't think appropriately. Your organs don't work right. Your body doesn't flow appropriately. And, you know, people have been hospitalized for being dehydrated. And especially if you're a person that drinks a lot or you don't have the proper diet, you have to get the water in. You have to eat more whole foods, less processed foods. Our bodies are not made to process, to break down all these processed foods. This is where all the disease is coming from. So basically, if you can't pronounce it, you really shouldn't be eating it. And I know that's a tough concept. I get it. I'm not even going to spend a lot of time on this one. Because that's just, you know, it's what it is. You could be all day speaking about that. But I know one thing. Water and drinking and eating more whole foods and less processed foods. Well, you, if you tried it for a month, you'll turn into a whole different person. And keep moving. Exercise. Whatever it is. People get scared of that word exercise. I don't have time. Or you just plain old lazy. That's just call the spade a spade. You just lazy. Like that, it just is what it is. But nobody said you had to be a gym rat. Nobody said you, you know, you had to do all these cardio and this and that, all these different times a day and as many times a week and all that. No one said that. Any type of movement is good. I think people get scared of routine and structure and the word exercise. Exercise is anything, something different that you do outside of your daily activity. 15 to 30 minutes a day. So if you have an 8-hour day and you're getting the kids ready and you're going to work and things like that, take 15 extra or 30 extra minutes to walk, to whatever. Just keep moving because that helps the blood flow, and that helps, and that helps the heart. And especially the heart. You have to have proper healthy blood flow to your heart. So any kind of movement helps. Walk up and down the steps 5 times. Nobody said you had to, you know, have this strict routine and get a trainer and be in it. No, walk up. You in the house for whatever reason. It might be hard at first, but if you walk up the steps 3 times a day, after 7 days, you're going to see how much easier it is. And you burn some calories and you might even lose a pound or two. But the most important thing, you'll get your blood pumping and flowing and your organs to a healthy state. And practice safe sex. I know it sounds weird, but it is what it is. Practice safe sex. Far as your body. Or abstinence if you can. That's even better. Because that could be mind, body, and soul. But practice safe sex. And get your proper rest. You're no good to anybody. And your body has to have a certain amount of time to recuperate from everything that you've done to it all day. So you have to have that rest period. So at least 6 to 8 hours of rest a night. I know some people sounds weird and they could never do it because they're so busy. But it's going to affect you in the long run as a long-term effect. And we don't want to get to the point where now we're trying to reprogram ourselves. We want to be at a point where we're just at the healthiest state possible. Far as your soul, spiritual growth. You can start journaling, you can make prayer boards, you can make vision boards, anything that you can see that helps you towards your journey. Cut off soul ties, entanglements, and situationships. Cut them off. What good is it? None. Just cut them off. And for mind, body, and soul, for all of them, work-life balance, communicate your feelings. Work-life balance is hard. It wasn't as relevant in my day when I was coming up, but now it's very important that you have work-life balance, especially if you have a family. It's very important to have work-life balance. And it's very important to communicate your feelings to people. Very important for your mind, body, and soul. You have to learn to communicate, and you have to learn to communicate appropriately, and you have to learn to communicate in a healthy way. I'm not talking about unhealthy, toxic communication. Learn how to communicate in a healthy way to get things done, to get decisions made, to solve problems in your life, in your relationships. You have to learn how to do it. If you're not good at it, find a YouTube channel, read a book, Google it on some steps on how to be a better communicator. And there, always remember, there's no perfect time for anything. There's no such thing as a perfect time. We procrastinate things that we, and I just learned this myself, honestly, within this half a year or less than that. There's no perfect time for anything. There's always going to be a problem. Not enough money, not enough time. Can't do this, can't do that. There's no such thing as a perfect time. So stop procrastinating or making moves in your life or going towards your goals because you're waiting for this perfect time. There will never be a perfect time. There will never be a perfect time. So it's always going to be something. So if you invest in yourself, spend time with yourself, and you understand things, there's never a perfect time. So if there's something that you want to do, if there's anything that you want to do to make yourself better, you've been procrastinating because you feel like the money's not there, the time's not there, you don't have enough support, you're waiting for this person, waiting for that person, get yourself out of that mindset, change your thought process, and understand that there's no perfect time for anything. And you have to surround yourself with like-minded people. If you don't surround yourself with like-minded people, guess what? You're going to wind up getting swallowed up by those people that, you know, that if you're an ambitious person and you want to do things in life and you want to push forward and you want to be successful in whatever way, just mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, whatever, and you surround yourself with toxic people, what are the odds that you're going to meet the goal that you want? And I'm not just talking about your friends. I'm talking about family members. I'm talking about coworkers. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about even your partner. If you don't surround yourself with like-minded people, the less likely you are to get things done. And I say that about you all the time. Most of the people you hang around, all of your friends, y'all are young entrepreneurs in some right, all smart. I always say, if you want something done, ask him, because he knows somebody that do just about anything. But that just means he has surrounded himself with friends that wanted something, that went out there and got it. Most of them are fathers. They're in their kids' lives. They do what they, you know, they're productive citizens in society. If he hung around a bunch of riffraff that were toxic, weren't productive citizens in society, always had something negative to say, never, you know, were haters or whatever the case is, what are the odds? Yeah, what are the odds that you would be? I mean, I know you're your own person, but peer groups make a difference, especially if these are people, your best friend, or you might have a cousin that you look at like a brother, or family members that you're around all the time. Once you're around all that negativity like that, the odds of you being able to be successful in that cesspool of toxicity are slim. Yeah, you can rise above it, but you will want to surround yourself with like-minded people to make your journey better, and you could be bigger and better. Because everybody has ideas. Everybody's bouncing off of each other. Everybody's happy that this person is successful, or this person did this and did that. This person has a connection. That person has a connection. Get you a leg up. Get you whatever the case is. That's how it was supposed to be. So you have to surround yourself with like-minded people. Anybody had anything they wanted to share or add to that? You had a lifestyle change in the past couple of months. You know, we're going into a new year. What do you think you want to take into the new year to make your transition successful? We've talked about this, family, on, I think our prior episode, being a full-time father, talked about his new transition. I guess he could touch on it for 2 seconds to, you know, brush everybody up on what it is, and then he can move into how it'll affect him in the new year.
Well, if you didn't go back and listen to the interview, it's two parts to it, but I guess I'll sum up a little bit. But it's, you know, more so, you know, and you know, probably what be going on was this 6-7 months, something like that, you know, single or whatever. And then in the midst of that, became a full-time father. So, of course it was a big change for me because, you know, I wasn't used to being full time, meaning my kids living with me. And then it's, you know, it's just me. So it's kind of a little different. You know, they're not. And since it was young, it was easier when they were younger. They didn't understand a lot. But now that they're older, they understand certain things. So got to move a little different. But going into the new year, as far as that, I would. What's the word I'm looking for? Definitely not settling whatsoever or making it a priority to feel like I need somebody to fill the void of feel like I need somebody there, which I know I don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, for now it's about the kids, and then that's just going to be in the future, whoever accepts it. So if they don't, then it's fine. Ain't no big deal to me. I don't really. But that's just what 2023 is going to become. 2023 and on. You know, whatever happens, I'm leading with the conversation of I'm a full-time father.
Okay, so take
more time in between.
Okay, so you basing it on being in your next relationship. Is that like one of your biggest things when, you know, once you became a full-time dad, was that one of your biggest things that you thought about? Like, what does that mean for a relationship?
No, because if I thought that, I'd have been already out here on the move.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not even out here on the move.
Well, I just said that because that was your main focus just now.
Well, so what are we talking about of? What just recently happened and how I'm going to take it into the new year, right? So that's all bottled into one.
Oh, you were talking about your relationship too?
Yeah.
Oh, I was, okay. You just, father, okay, you know, okay. You
know, all those things I'm trying to, of course, everything is on the two-part interview, so.
We didn't really talk about that. We only talked about the full-time dad on the interview. We never talked about the relationship. That's why I got lost. So, okay, you bottling everything up because you feel like these were two shifts in two life events that had major shit. Okay, gotcha.
Everything else is just, you know, small stuff that, you know, happens.
Okay.
You know, the two major
things that happened to you this year. Okay.
So it was, you know, same exact time. It wasn't, you know, one thing happened.
Right. Then, okay.
You know, we talking about, you know, a span of 2 weeks kind of thing.
So okay.
That's the two major things. And that's the only thing I think I'm taking into 2023. I feel like 22 was pretty good to me. You know, of course, outside of the small stuff, you know, when it comes to
life in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that happened, so you really can't sit there and complain about that too much. But the two major things, it just now is being more focused. But then touching back to when you say the work life balance, that's probably something I probably gotta do a little better at now. Because, you know, before, you know, getting the kids, you know, the weekends or whatever, you always did something to kind of try to fill because you know what I'm saying?
Right, so now it's
having them
full time. Yeah.
Doing everything every weekend kind of stops in a sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's just the way, for some reason, that's the way it works out. So I want to try to fix that.
Right. And it's financial too. Let's just keep it real. Like you know, I know if you sum it up and you say, okay, well, you know, I got them on the weekends anyway, and I took them to school every morning, whatever. But when things are different now, because now there are two extra people in the house, the bills are going to be more, the food is going to be more. You, even if, you know, you were contributing to the food bill or contributing to whatever when they were in their mother's household, it's still totally different when you have them. So also your budget changes. So you might not be able to do these lavish things every weekend like you did before, because now that money has to go towards something else. So there's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, the money too. Everything is more expensive now. And that's just the real of it. I know it's not something that you are going to, you know, harp on or anything, because you're the type of person that's like, well, it is what it is. I work. I got to spend it. I got to spend it. You never really took money seriously like that. But that is one of the checkpoints when you become a full-time parent and, you know, now you have two extra mouths to feed, literally. Like, money is the issue. And you have to change your budget around now. Were you done?
Yeah, I was done. That's my two major things I gotta...
Ma'am, anything that you have learned this year, not that it had to be even a bad, you know, some type of shift or change, but is there anything that you want to say going to the new year... This is what I'm going to do differently, or this is what I learned, or I'm not taking this with me. It doesn't even have to be something on this grand scale, because things don't happen to everybody all the time.
Well, for one, I'm not taking certain people with me.
I know that's right.
I learned how to manage financial-wise money.
Oh, so you budgeting better. Okay.
Yeah, and basically get my mind right, set goals for myself.
Those are two major things. Those are two good things, because not taking everybody with you and budgeting. Those are good things that you're acknowledging, because in the past you would have never acknowledged that. You would have had the same, you know, money issues and the same friend issues or whatever. So that's good, and it's good to say I'm not doing it. So you, is your mind made up? I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. Good. For sure. Good, because we make look. You know how many times every year after year I had the same doggone New Year's resolution, if that's what you want to call it? And fast forward to still going, like, that's how I know. Come on. Like, it's just a mind thing. It's something we were programmed to think that you had to do this New Year's resolution on January 1st. Because if that was the case, why do people fall off in February, March? It don't even last the whole time. So, you know, it's not it's just a lifestyle change. New Year's lifestyle change, not New Year's resolution. I know last year we did an episode on that, but here we go another year, you know, with the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you just saying to yourself, I'm going to be better with money, and I'm cutting some people off, period. And it has nothing to do with nothing else, a New Year's resolution or nothing. It's my life, and this is what I'm going to do so I can change. Period. Sure. Now, as far as myself, to wrap things up. Woo. Yeah, so that, the spending time alone has allowed me to, that's why when I said with you, I just wanted to round it off, because spending time alone doesn't mean, okay, today I'm going to spend time by myself and learn who I am. No, it's been a few years for me at this point. It's been years. It's been some years. This is how long that it took for me to even get to this point, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing. Renew and regrow. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm still doing now. So once I got that mastered down, I'm just getting to the point to master investing in myself. So this year I have learned that I am worthy of certain things. I've learned that I'm a very talented person. I have the ability to do a lot of things that other people don't have the ability to do, from because my trauma grew me up and I've learned from it. And I, you know, made choices and things like that. My trauma made me strong. I realized my purpose and who I really am and what I was put here for this year. So that is causing me to be able to invest in myself. And I'm not going to be, and there's no perfect time for anything. I've learned that. You have to do things now. If you're going to do it, just do it. It might not be meant for me to go to a certain level or to be in this certain space. But if it's something in my soul that I feel like that I want to do, I'm going to do it for myself, not to have become, you know, not to have become rich or become famous or anything like that. This is what I want to do because I'm learning to invest in myself. And it's, you know, it might, you know, there's no perfect time for anything. I'm worth it. I'm worthy. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I'm beautiful. I'm able to do certain things. And this is what I have learned this year. And moving into the next year, my life is going to look different. My goals look different. And my goals aren't just going to be unfinished dreams. They're going to be goals that are going to be met. And whatever is for me is going to be for me. But I'm no longer going to live in this bubble or this box of not being able to invest in myself or feeling like I'm worthy enough or not worthy enough. So that's something that I've learned, and that's very transparent and true. And, you know, I don't mind sharing because I meant what I said. Sorry, but not sorry. You know, anyone can change, but growth takes effort. I'm not just changing. I'm going to grow, and I'm going to put forth the effort. Anybody had anything else they wanted to add to that?
I'm all good.
All right, sir. Well, drop it.
See what I got for y'all.
All right.
If you are a friend to everybody, you're an enemy to yourself.
Okay. I heard, so it was one of the rappers, he was on social media, and he said, all this I grew up on, being loyal to this person and being loyal to that person, and it was this street code, and you were not supposed to do this or do that. He said, man, I've learned you can't be loyal to everybody, because then you're going to be disloyal to yourself. I said, wow. I said, wow. But family, we want to say Happy New Year to you guys. We want to thank you for listening to us for another, you know, for another year, taking time out of your lives to listen to us and support us. You know, we came on here 2 years ago as a small black family that needed some healing, that needed some growing. And we just said, we're going to get on here and we're going to see if we can help other families that are going through some of the things that we went through. We weren't looking to be famous or anything like that. We just wanted to, if we touched one family, we were happy. And in this moment, we are listened to over 30 countries and territories, over 500 cities. And we just want to say thank you for supporting us. And we want to say Happy New Year to you and yours. And continue to support us. And we'll do our best to always be in good spirits and come on here and be transparent and, you know, live our lives with our family, our extended family. And just be safe out there. Be true to yourself. Love yourself. Always know that you matter. Get go on a journey to help yourself. Just try. I know it's hard and it's scary, but just try to be a better person because it will help you out in the long run. Try to be a better parent, especially to our children. They are the future and we have to be there to raise them and nurture them and support them and try to be a better partner. Try to be, you know, a better friend. And just try to be better to yourself. And for now, because the next time we meet, it will be 2023. It'll be a whole new year. And we'll have a whole new outlook on life. And as always, talk to you soon. Family Healing Breaking Cycles streams on your favorite app. On Mondays at 12 p.m., just add us to your favorites and you'll get alerts when new episodes stream on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and others. We would also like to thank our sponsors, KKP Vending. If you need a vending machine at your location, you could call them at 267-407-7678 and also Lounge 21. At 1639 South 21st Street, Philadelphia, PA 19145. And you can also follow them on Instagram at lounge_21. And follow us on Facebook, Family Healing Breaking Cycles, and we would love to hear from you. Or you can also email us at familyhealingbreakingcycles78@yahoo.com. And don't forget to leave us a review in your favorite app as well.